Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. This show is about you. It is about you knowing that you as an individual, not only do you make a difference, but if you're having a tough time in life, often the guests that I have enable us to see a perspective to empower us as people to make a change for the better. It all begins with a choice that we make, and my guest today is Lisa Haruzi Marcus, and she's written a marvelous book called Living a Blessed Life, Walking in Faith, Growing in Wealth. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Donna.
Now, Lisa, you are a financial education consultant, and you are a personal finance writer for Soul Magazine. You really have a passion about empowering women. And you've done workshops throughout the country, and this book is a workbook, which I liked a great deal. You support a financial ministry outreach and mentoring programs worldwide. You've won awards for your journalism. You're a registered investment advisor representative. You have an MBA from Michigan State University. Linda, many women in today's world are finding that unlike their mothers and grandmothers, they need to be more acutely aware of their financial positioning. Women typically have always lived longer than men. In our generation and the younger generations coming up, they're going to live a heck of a lot longer than mom and grandmom. Why is it that you decided you were going to develop an insight on how to work with money? And what was it that triggered this drive? Because I know you, like so many other young women at a certain time in your life, the biggest concern was having a family, being married, and having what we considered the Cinderella life. What turned you around and made you one that wanted to be different?
Well, you know, Donna, when I was growing up, one of the most formative experiences in my childhood was seeing my mother physically abused for approximately 13 years. And it didn't, you know, I thought that all was actually normal with that, which is very surprising. But, you know, as I became older, I understood the reason why she stuck in the marriage, aside from wanting to provide a stable home for us children, us four children. It had more to do with her having the belief that her financial security lie in marrying a good provider.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that nowadays women would be over that, that, you know, there's such a pressure nowadays for us to construct our own personal safety nets, that the divorce rate is so high, and we've seen so many of the casualties that I've seen in my own family of people really being stifled and having to put up with so much because they're not able to provide for themselves financially. But wouldn't you know, as I'm going into middle schools, high schools, and talking to girls, over 25% still think that the way to a stable future is to marry a rich man.
Oh, isn't that the truth? I hear that with a lot of mature women whose lives have been really rocky. They're still trying to find their Prince Charming that has a bucket full of gold that'll be theirs.
Well, more than a third of Americans think that the only way to financial security is to win the lottery. And unfortunately, marrying a rich man is the female equivalent of winning the lottery. That in our culture, it's more acceptable to marry into wealth and to acquire wealth in that way than to earn it on your own if you're a woman.
And that is still being perpetuated. Why do you think that's still being perpetuated?
You know, Susie Orman said it pretty succinctly in that women have a complicated relationship with money. Now, research shows that women are not only better savers and investors than men. but they have a more holistic idea of wealth that, you know, they tend to do really well in providing for their families. However, there's also this lifeboat mentality going on that women tend to take all the people that they love and get them all safe and secure in the lifeboat and send them off to sea and forget about themselves.
True.
So even though it seems to me that women are very equipped in regards to dealing with finances, and in fact, more than 50% of women right now are the CFOs of their household, making not only budgetary decisions but also investing decisions as well, it's this interesting and perplexing combination of cultural barriers and beliefs that we're raised with that keep us from wealth as women most often.
And that's what your material, Living a Blessed Life, is all about.
Yeah.
You want to empower women to know that they can have a financial level of security, but it takes stepping outside of the indoctrination box and being aware. You have a statistic in here. Compared with men, women live 7 years longer, earn 25% less, receive 25 to 75% less in pension and Social Security benefits, and more than 70% of those in poverty are women. And that is just an incredible statement. And there are so many individuals, and I've heard this even from women, where they will say, well, it is just the way things are. I mean, it's just the way it is. And it doesn't have to be that way.
It certainly doesn't. And in fact, you know, what I see play out in the financial landscape, you can even trace it back. Its roots are in the playground in regards to how girls play together versus how boys play together. That in that playground environment, you see boys most often, from the time that they have something of value, trying to trade it for something more valuable. They're
mm-hmm.
starting that vernacular of the deal and you know, trading up and trading out, and are very comfortable with not only assessing value and making a judgment that way, but they also learn very early to suffer a loss and to be okay with it. You know, they
mm-hmm.
develop a flexibility that maybe girls don't starting out, you know, with the tendency more or less to not trade but to keep, you know, not to really let themselves go and to try different things and to, you know, suffer the consequences when the consequences aren't all that great. It's almost like that there's a learned helplessness where that's concerned.
Well, it's often honored. I mean, if a woman is considered, now it all depends on the environment, because in certain environments, the helpless female just doesn't come across. But so frequently, in certain cultural situations, I know, I've experienced it so many times through the years, there will be those women that will feign helplessness because that enables them to have a focus of attention. And a lot of people like that. They encourage that. And I've seen in different cultures women doing that very thing because they are patriarchal cultures. And if they did become very, you know, stood out, then they'd be slammed down. Sometimes they'd even be shot down. There are cultures today, women are murdered for doing that. So we are very fortunate in this country because we are able to be ourselves, but we don't have to go out there, you know, and carry broomsticks and all kinds of stuff and become, you know, like the female Amazon warriors. That's not necessarily what the portrayal we have to give. But we need to empower ourselves so that we can recognize we can be who we are, we can be gracious, we can be totally feminine, and we can be winners. And I think that that is something that needs to be shared, and that's what you have in here. You have so many wonderful points which I want to connect with. You give a story that I want to touch on quickly. It was by Charles L. Allen, talking about the story of the Allied armies caring for war orphans about World War II. Share that story, because it's a poignant one, and it has to do with our psychological patterning.
Well, you know, during that time, you know, when these war orphans were taken in by the Allied forces, you know, the psychologists and the caretakers had noticed that there was a great problem in their ability to sleep. That, you know, they would put them to bed at night, and although that they were well fed during the day and that there wasn't a question about food being in plentiful supply, they were rarely able to sleep an entire night without waking up and being disturbed in some way. And a bright psychologist finally figured out that in order for the children to sleep, that they did so better if they were given a piece of bread to cling to as they slept. Because as orphans, you know, during this war-torn time, they were never quite sure where their next meal would come from. And so having that security blanket helped them through the night. And the analogy or the parallel that I was drawing in the book to nowadays is that money appears to be that security blanket for people.
Mm-hmm.
That deep in our psychology, that so much of our worth, if you look at what the outside world is measuring us by, has to do with money and wealth and a visible show of that. And the point of the book really is to get that worth from something else. You know, that in order to truly free yourself to live an abundant life, you have to start measuring yourself by a different yardstick than what the world says you're worth.
Absolutely.
Because it's far more than that.
Oh, it's so much. But having the financial freedom enables you to have a flexibility in your life when you don't have it. I've been on both sides of the fence, and when you don't have, it is not fun. It just is not fun at all. Because if you're working and worrying, but gee, how am I going to make this? How am I going to make that? And there's just that constant stress. It's the pit. So let's talk about the four steps: self-worth, four financial habits, and practicing contentment and passing it on. Self-worth we've covered a little bit. Let's go into the four financial habits. What are the four habits you address in your book, Living the Blessed Life?
The four that I see are that are the bedrock of people growing and managing money are spending less than you earn, which is extremely difficult nowadays. In fact, they've done studies that for each hour of television that we watch, that our annual spending increases by $208 per hour of television watched. There's so much out there designed to distance ourselves from our money that this very critical and important lesson needs to be, you know, really meditated on and brought to the forefront by really being clear with yourself and prioritizing what do you want to spend your money on, what is important to you, and setting those goals, you know, to kind of give you, yourself that armor, you know, to spend less than you earn. The second step is to systematically save. So once you're spending less than you earn, what are you putting that money into? You know, for retirement nowadays, the 401k plans are the primary vehicle for people to save and invest. And the more you're able to go a route in which your money is coming directly out of your paycheck before you have a chance to spend it, and you're saving it in the appropriate vehicle, something that's going to give you the type of return on investment for the time frame that you're looking at, that's critically important to getting ahead. The third is spreading your risk. And this comes down to basic asset allocation. How much of your savings are you putting in what type of investment? And there's so much in the financial community right now that's set out there to confuse people where this is concerned. But I'm sure that in reading the book and following it, you'll see how simple it actually is, that it just comes down to the percentage of what you put in an asset class, and that will determine more than 90% of the return on your investment. And then the fourth is sharing with others. And I find that, you know, women of anybody are able to do this naturally and are really generous givers. But as you share, you actually open up the windows of opportunity for more wealth to flow in. So that needs to be one of the steps as well.
I really think that all of these things are very significant. Let's talk about practicing contentment. Now, for those of you who are just tuning in, we're talking with Lisa Horuzi Marcus, or excuse me, I mispronounced your middle name, Horuzi Marcus, and her book is Living a Blessed Life, walking in faith, growing in wealth. Let's talk about contentment. Why is that so important?
You know, living in Orange County, it's very difficult not to go out and compare yourself to somebody else, because you're always going to find somebody more beautiful, driving a better car, you know, kids are dressed better, you know, living in a larger house, you know, that sort of thing. And by, you know, our human nature really is to compare, that we generally tend to compare ourselves to people who are doing better than ourselves if we are comparing.
Mm-hmm.
And that tends to be really a poison in regards to our peace of mind and as well as our wealth. A lot of what we end up spending money on is to keep up with the Joneses or to keep up appearances or to, you know, have a certain thing that we think will complete us in some way, because we're comparing ourselves against somebody else who has it. But if we truly are content with what we have, we're rich. You know, anybody living in the United States, anybody living on more than $2.50 a day, which is what most of the world lives on, under $2.50 a day, you're already rich. So how are you going to value that? What are you going to do with that?
Oh, very true. I liked the story of your three-year-old using his quarters. Share that with my audience, because this is a wonderful way to teach a child. Great way to teach a child.
Oh, yes. You know, we were very much interested from a very early age teaching our children financial lessons, particularly tithing. You know, that wasn't something that was introduced in my household, and it took a little bit of time in regards to really get my mind around the concept of systematically giving in that way. And so from the very beginning, you know, since my son was able to utter, you know, the word money and knew what it was about, we put him on an allowance system and gave him three boxes to, you know, put his money in, one of which was to save, one of which was to spend, and one was to give. So he would get his allowance in quarters, and then we would walk him through the spiel in regards to, you know, what each box signified and what the money would be used for, and then he would decide how much to put in. And it's funny, this was kind of a breakthrough moment in regards to me really understanding how much of financial planning is just in our nature, that if left to our own devices, you know, and maybe some time to meditate with God, that we would choose the right path. Well, I left him alone, you know, with the three boxes in front of him, and he actually stacked an equal amount of quarters behind each of the boxes, that he was going to put the same amount into giving and spending and saving. And it really struck me, because that's something we call in investing, you know, investor research, as 1/N behavior, that if somebody is not entirely sure where they should place their money, what they should invest in, that if they're faced with a number of options, that they would put an equal amount of their savings in each of those boxes. So it was really a great lesson.
Yes, it is. And what a wonderful way for a child to have that sense of balance put within their own psyche, and they are doing it themselves, and it's being reinforced by you, by the entire family. I think that's great. You also mentioned that we should catalog our blessings. In fact, the keys to contentment, you say, are believing in abundance, cataloging your blessings, limit your exposure, and enrich your world. I wanted to share a poem that you included in your book that was written by an unknown Confederate soldier during the Civil War, and I thought it was quite profound, and if you don't mind, I'd like to read it. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything that I had hoped for. Despite myself, all my prayers were answered. I am, among all persons, most richly blessed. It's all perspective, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. And in fact, I think that one of the most life-changing moments in my entire life was actually being on a world travel grant when I was 22 years old and going to Bombay, India for the very first time.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, we flew in about 3 a.m. And I was from Detroit, so I was used to seeing people in poverty and homelessness, but not to the scale that I had seen in this city. And in fact, as we were driving at 3 a.m. from the airport into the central city, there were bumps along the side of the road and in the median, so many I couldn't even count. And I went up and I asked the bus driver, what were those lumps out there? I thought it was road construction or garbage. And he said that those bumps were people. And as far as I could see, all these hundreds of people, no home, no future, no clothes, you know, nothing to shelter themselves from the weather. And, you know, he added as we were driving along that in the wintertime that a truck comes by and picks up those people who don't get up the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And life just goes on. You know, how richly blessed are we, even as far as, you know, paved roads and road signs and the ability to, you know, get a job and make a difference.
Yes. There's so much to be grateful for, and I think that that is one of the greater challenges often for many people is they look at what they don't have. And they look and say, look at how poor I am. I remember watching a play of about a month or so ago, and one of the lines in it was, I want something a lot better. Well, there was nothing wrong with that, but they couldn't appreciate where they were. And so they ended up having some dire consequences that occurred later on. Now, someone might say, well, that's negative programming. It's never wrong, in my mind's view, to aspire for something bigger and better. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you can't appreciate where you are, how in the blue blazes are you going to be happy or contented when you do achieve what you have? Because so much of that contentment has to come from inside yourself.
That's so true. And knowing when enough is enough. You know, God is really going to look at you from the standpoint of why are you asking for a particular thing? You know, so much of our life is designed not for our comfort, but to build our character. And the more that we're able to look out and see, you know, not so much what we want, but the needs that are out there and the opportunities to make a difference, you know, it can totally transform your life. You know, I remember this Chinese proverb, and it says that if you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a month, get married. If you want happiness for a year, get an inheritance. But if you want happiness for life, help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that is truly what it is. That's what we're put on this earth to do. And that's how we transform it.
Absolutely. I want to share something that you have in your book, and it's under the section Pass It On. And this is, I'm quoting right out of your book, every thought you think, every dime you spend, every word you say has a ripple effect throughout the world. You can actively choose to create positive energy that will affect those around you. Some of those you touch will pass it on themselves, becoming more cheerful and charitable to those they encounter just because you chose to say something nice to them. And that is so very, very true. Passing it on. Now, that's something that you're doing with this book. You do it every day of your life. You are going about empowering people. What else is passing it on representative to for you?
I think it's, you know, one of the inspirations to writing this book, in addition to my childhood, was actually having children. And so much of you know, being in a better financial position than what our parents were, there's a responsibility in regards to helping our children get to that next state, whatever that might be. But it's funny, there's this double-edged sword with unearned wealth that it tends to corrupt rather than actually put people, you know, in a better state and fulfill what we think it will fulfill, making a person's life easier rather than having them experience their own resourcefulness. So passing it along for me is not only of the knowledge and making sure that, you know, we know the lessons and we're exercising those in our lives and we're setting a good example, but also encouraging others, you know, within our families, outside of our families, you know, however we can, you know, provide some sort of outreach and hope for others. You know, one of the things that we're trying to do with the book is that with from every book sale, a dollar is being donated to Hope International, which is a charitable organization that provides microfinance loans to women in third world countries. And for every dollar that we end up, you know, donating and, you know, putting into this system in which sets up female entrepreneurship, it affects not only the woman that is getting the microloan, but also 85 other people. You know, everyone in her village, everyone she knows and touches. So really, you know, passing it on, you know, from a knowledge standpoint, from a monetary standpoint, you know, making
well,
it bigger and better.
Absolutely. And I think that's what we really need to do. As we become more skilled, as we become more knowledgeable, whatever venue that may be, just like you're doing with the information on financial resourcefulness and encouraging the independence of women. And for you fellas that are listening to it that may say, gee whiz, you're just focusing on the gals. Why don't you focus on us, too? Remember, it doesn't make any difference whether you're male or female. Financial independence is a very important part of life, but there are no magic wands other than yourself. And there are steps that you can initiate, but you're the one that has to initiate this. I think the book is great for men or women, living a blessed life, walking in faith, growing in wealth. Lisa, Ruthie, Marcus, and Lisa, you have a website called blessedlife.biz. B like boy, I, Z like zebra. Blessedlife.biz. And what are they going to find on that site?
Well, they're going to find not only an ability or a resource to buy the book through, but also resources to help them in every area of their lives. You know, one of the book's core concepts is that, you know, that God gave us five states to dwell in, five fields of endeavor, the spiritual realm, emotional, mental, physical, and fiscal. And that once you strengthen that spiritual state, every other state improves, including your financial state. So there is a resource page there in which you can look under and find resources in all of those areas. You'll also find more information in regards to where the book has been placed, a demonstration tape of a speaking engagement that I did, articles, and other resources as well. Everything you need to get going.
Lisa, Ruxie, Marcus, living a blessed life, walking in faith, growing in wealth. Lisa, it's been a delight having you as a guest. We have about 30 seconds. What would you like to leave my listeners with in the way of a thought?
I really liked where you were leading us, Donna, regarding passing it on. And if your listeners could think about how richly they've been blessed in their lives and hold some consciousness for that and take the first step to really imagine what sort of life they want to live, what they want out of life, what sort of impact they want to make. A friend of mine just reached out to me a couple days ago and that her mother had just passed away. And I make a yearly practice of actually writing my obituary to keep me focused on how I'm living my life and what sort of impact I want to live. So although that might seem a little bit morbid, maybe that's something that other people might want to consider too, that living it from the perspective of the end and what sort of impact they would like to have.
Lisa Haruzi Marcus, living a blessed life, walking in faith, growing in wealth. Thank you very much for being my guest today. It was delightful having you, and may you have continued success in all that you do.
Thank you, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. Don't you go away. More good things coming. We'll be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again,
872-8852. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. And telephone lines are now open, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. In the U.S., in Canada, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And for anyone else, our direct line is 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. And I wanted to share with you a quote by Maura Beattie, who is a life management expert. And I love this because I thought it was so appropriate with talking about money in the first part of the show and abundance and what we can do to develop that freedom we want. And Maura said, "What keeps you from believing that the universe is yours? Reach out, embrace it. I say, the sky's the limit. So get your bag, get your stuff, and head for the stars. I'll meet you out there. Get your bag, get your stuff, and head for the stars. I'll meet you out there." Isn't that a wonderful approach? Isn't that a great attitude to have and to share with someone else? It really, really is significant. And I just think that so frequently we will get caught up in our various activities of everyday living, and we forget that as individuals, we have this uniqueness that is meant to give something into life that's very, very special. And some of you may say, "Well, Donna, you're different. Here you are. You're on the radio. You're well-known, and you'll go on and on and on." I've had people that have talked to me and have said, "Gee, you just are so very, very blessed. You're so fortunate." Well, I acknowledge that. However, for me to be able to do what I'm doing, for me to be comfortable in my own skin, it took a lot of years to be able to discover really what I love, which is doing exactly what I'm doing, but also to realize that when I empower others, I'm empowering myself. Every time I learn something from the materials that I receive and I'm able to share it with you, that just reinforces it for me over and over again. And that's what life does. I wanted to share a story of Peggy McColl. Now, Peggy is a woman who is quite accomplished. She has been a best-selling author. She is really one that goes around trying to empower people to reach their specific areas of accomplishment, destiny, whatever term you want to use. And she founded her own company, her own business. But she said her journey was a very difficult one. And to have everything that she felt was so important to her, she had to really do a self-appraisal. She said, I was expanding my sense of myself and my own identity. In many ways, I thought that I was finally getting there. I was getting that success, and I was having that feeling of happiness. And she said, my well-being and my sense of satisfaction was growing, and I was a mom, I had a little boy, and I was just really enjoying myself. And she was a single mother, and she was putting a lot of time in a relationship with her son. She said, I was doing well financially. I bought a beautifully four-decorated bedroom home in a very fine neighborhood, and I was just doing better and better and better, and I was feeling so very good about everything. But there was an undertone. And she said they were some negative emotions. And she would consciously try to pay attention to those negative emotions and replace them with more positive actions and attitudes. But she said, I kept getting sabotaged. And she said she was always concerned about money, and she was afraid she might never find love again, being divorced and having gone through some unpleasant circumstances. She said all of these fears were sabotaging me. And she couldn't figure out why she was restless, even though she had so many things around her to be so grateful for. And she was feeling like something was missing in her life. She said it didn't come to her attention. It just wasn't in her head that her own emotions were causing her to feel dissatisfied, because she said those emotions were so subtle that I didn't always recognize them. I had positive feelings, but it was this subliminal stuff that was sort of floating there under the surface and pop up every once in a while. She said she felt if she tried harder, she could force success and take her life to a whole new level. But she said she wasn't getting to where she wanted to go, no matter how hard she worked. No matter what she was doing, positive thoughts, everything, it just wasn't clicking. She said, consequently, I held tightly to everything that I had achieved, while I still had the subliminal negative thoughts and feelings about what I didn't have. And my guest mentioned that keeping up with the Joneses, gee, if the Joneses have a brand new car, then, oh, I should really have a brand new car, because if I don't have a brand new car, then I'm not going to be equal to them. That kind of stuff. Well, every success she enjoyed caused her to want more. She said, if I made more money, I'd be less anxious and more at peace. But the harder she worked to keep what she had and constantly grabbing for more, the greater her fears. Then things started changing. Her income started to drop. She tried to figure out what she was doing wrong professionally. She took risks to boost her business. However, she said, what I didn't realize was by focusing on what I didn't want to experience, namely fear, anxiety, and lack, I was holding myself back from achieving what I did want, contentment, calm, and abundance. She said, I had plenty of material around me about spiritual teachers and self-help experts who said that prosperity would be mine if only I'd accept it. But it felt as if I had no control over making more money. I was terrified of losing my business, my home, and I was getting sucked into a pretty deep whirlpool of negativity. Does that sound familiar? She said, in going through this, my self-worth, I questioned it. I wondered how I could possibly teach other people about being successful when I was on this razor's edge of losing everything that I worked so hard to achieve. She said, fortunately, that led me to my epiphany. And this is what it was for her. To have it all, you have to be willing to give it all up. She said, what I needed to let go of was my fear that I was going to lose myself if I lost my things. I realized that if I did so, I'd truly be able to stop being so afraid. But did I really have the courage to surrender? She said, the reality was I didn't necessarily have to give up everything I had, but I understood that I had to be willing to give it all up. I had to be prepared to detach from what I owned, because by being attached to situations, I was creating more and more powerful negative feelings. I didn't have faith that no matter what happened around me, regardless of what I might lose, I had the power to control my anxiety, fear, and I had the power to create happiness for me. I was afraid that if I'd lost what I had, my destructive emotions would take charge of my life. I realized that there was no reason to be possessive when it came to my material wealth, so I could just have faith that everything in my life could be created again. After all, I'd created it in the first place. You have the power to build, you have the power to rebuild. In my head, she said, I trusted that money is just an outward manifestation of the abundance and wealth that's experienced within. But I had to be convinced of that in my heart. I finally understood that laboring to create the things I wanted for myself wasn't nearly as effective as focusing on creating my desired emotions. I didn't have to work or think harder. I needed to put together those positive feelings that were associated with my goal. If I wanted to be confident, I had to create the feeling of confidence. And the universe would respond by helping me succeed. If I hoped to be wealthy, I needed to create a feeling of richness and abundance. And the universe would bring me prosperity. I understood that what I co-created might not come in the form I expected. For instance, maybe I'd get new clients, but it would be through an unexpected avenue. Or I'd get the money I was seeking, not by acquiring additional business, but through another source. Of course, I had to work to make the most of the opportunities that the universe presented to me, but now I knew I didn't have to continue to frantically struggle to achieve my goals. I could attract the situations that mirrored my feelings of happiness, abundance, and confidence. She said, when I began to genuinely believe that I'm more than what I have, that I'm not defined by what I've achieved, and I don't have to point to material goods as evidence of my worthiness, my life started to change dramatically. I created the emotions that I wanted to feel, and the newfound power within me allowed me to grow and prosper as I had never done before in my life. Peggy McColl, a very, very accomplished lady. Most of us, if we were to meet her and to interact with her, would not have even imagined that she went through this awesome growth cycle. But you know what we all do on one level or another. So whatever's going on in your life, good, bad, or indifferent, understand that this life experience is that of a school. And as you go along, as you learn and you grow and you develop, you're going to encounter all kinds of new experiences, and some of them can be very threatening. When I watched a woman whose home was burned in the Lake Tahoe fire, she and her husband had lived in that environment like for 40 years. And in just a matter of a few hours, everything that they had from the heat of that fire was pulverized, including the bricks in their fireplace, into dust. Nothing was there. And I watched this woman, and I thought, that is phenomenal. Look at what every single thing they had was gone. Nothing. And yet, the comment was, they were going to rebuild. And she was going through all of this dust. They were going to rebuild. And just like Peggy said, you might lose everything, but if you created something in the first place, you can always go back and create again. And that's what we need to remember. Life is tenuous. It always is. It's never been guaranteed. It's always a challenge. And that's why it's so important to hear stories by Lisa and Peggy and anyone and everyone else. Because when we can see what other people have grown through, it empowers us as people to realize we can grow through it ourselves. I can remember when I was in my late teens, early 20s, and I had a series of devastating experiences for me that I thought it was the end of my life. I really did. I just thought it was absolutely horrible, and someone might say, oh, well, you were young. Well, hey, this can happen at any age. It can happen in your teens. It can happen when you're 6 or 7. It can happen when you're 95. When you have these things occur, it's as if the universe is saying, yes, this can be devastating, but what are you going to do with it? And the challenge is presented to us to make it into something that's going to work for us and not work against us. And you know, one of the biggest lessons I learned was to ask for help. And that was a tough one. But when you ask for help, usually you'll find those people around you that will say, if you're willing, by golly, I'll be there to support you. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. Hey, give me a buzz if you'd like to get some intuitive insight. I'd be delighted to give you a reading on the air. U.S. 877-876-5227. Canada 888-815-9756. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't you go away now.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And if you're a first-time listener, all you need to do when you give a call, when we answer the phone line, give me your first name or your initial, and I love to know where you're calling in from, and then let me do my thing. I will give you my mental impressions, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you like. I do want to mention the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. Oh, before we know it, in just a couple of weeks, it's going to be starting up, and I am excited. This is such a marvelous event that I've participated in for a few years now, and it is a delight. It is a time of history, and this is fantasy time. It is so much fun. Now, the first three weekends in August, the 4th and 5th of August, the 11th and 12th, 18th and 19th, this event is going to be going on. We have people coming in from all over the country, people who enjoy the Renaissance, the costumes, the activities. My goodness, there's all kinds of things going on for each of these weekends. The hours will be from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's being held at the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor. There's jousting, equestrian events, there's sword fighting, gypsy dancing, Celtic dancing, wandering minstrels, storytelling of all kinds, games for kids, for adults, musical performances. Oh, we just have so much going on. And if you want to get in costume, hey, you can dress up and come on and be a part of the medieval scene. Or if you don't want to bring yourself in a costumed attire of choice, you can always rent one right on site so you can be within the theme and just have an absolutely wonderful time, whether you want to play the role of the peasant, a wandering minstrel, or the queen of a court. Everything is going to be available for you. Now, for fees, for information, go to their website, Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. That's WashingtonRenaissanceFantasyFair.com, and fair is spelled F-A-I-R-E. It is a wonderful event. I encourage you to come out. I'm going to have a booth there right on the main street of the Renaissance Fair, and we are going to be sharing all kinds of things with you, but I'll also be there available for many consultations. So for those of you listening in the state of Washington, put that down on your calendars. They've got wonderful passes and other things. Tell your neighbors, carpool over. It is just a wonderful way to spend a day, spend a weekend. Some people come out on all three because there's so much to see. They're going to miss it all. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. That's 888-8255. 815-9756. Now, tomorrow, we're going to be talking about Ayurvedic food and how you can benefit from it. Health is so important to all of us, and this is a level of knowledge. It's been around for centuries. My guest is going to be Amrita Santhi. Also, we're going to be talking about crop circles on Thursday. That is a fascinating topic, highly controversial, fascinating information. And our guest that's going to be discussing that is Freddie Silva. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about acupressure with Dr. John Sherman. We're going to learn how you can do it yourself. And this is natural health treatment. So we've got some wonderful guests that are coming up this week, and I invite you to tell your friends. And remember, always, if you miss one of the shows, you can go to our archives, and you can hear the show at your convenience. So it's just really great here at bbsradio.com. If you're not able to be with us in one moment, well, just know you're going to be able to be with us in another. Also, if you have a special story, something that you would like to share with me and with the audience, then send it along. And all you have to do is send it to my email address, and that is donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. And I can't promise you when I would use any of your material, but believe me, we do keep it, and we will share it when we're able to. Now, how would you like to be able to save energy, do something that's going to benefit the environment? It's a big issue anymore, and more people are coming up with ideas. However, there's just some little tips, a really common sense tips, and you need to just keep it in mind, and I know it has helped us. One of the things that we did in the SIBO household was change our light bulbs, and it takes up to 80% less energy to light a compact fluorescent bulb than a standard bulb. So if we just switched one bulb, they say levels of carbon dioxide and other air pollutants would drop dramatically. In fact, they say it's like taking 800 cars off of the road. And your compact fluorescent bulbs last 10 times longer than standard bulbs, so they really cost less in the long run. So if you want to learn how you can save more energy in your home or in your business, there are free energy audits that are provided by energy companies. And they'll be happy to send someone out to let you know what you can do to be more efficient in your energy usage. Also, pay less for paper products. Recycled paper towels and toilet paper, well, they're softer than ever before. And interestingly enough, unlike years ago, today they can cost 50% less than conventional paper products. And because they're chlorine-free, no water-polluting chemicals are released when they're made, well, they really make a difference. And making paper from recycled stock uses 65% less energy and produces 95% less air pollution than making it from new materials. And if you're buying new appliances, they all break down eventually. If you're going to buy a refrigerator, choose a model marked with the Energy Star label. It'll use 20% less power, 50% less if you're upgrading from a fridge that's 10 or more years old. Not only does it help cut down on air pollution, it'll also shave 15% off of your utility bill. So replace all of your appliances with Energy Star models, and you could save, depending on your usage, a nice chunk of change. Some people have saved up to $2,000 a year. Well, I know that we're just about out of time, and I want to thank you so much for being with me. I want to thank my guest, Lisa, and I also want to say you are an individual that has so much going for you. Don't be afraid to explore what it is you like. Don't be afraid to step into new arenas of experience. Life is an adventure, and you want to take that risk, if you will, to find out about your multi-dimensional capacity, because you've got them. After all, life is to be lived in the moment, and you're entitled to knowing the best about yourself, because when you do things for yourself, when you improve yourself, you benefit everybody around you. This is Donna Siebel. You're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a fabulous day. Be back with you tomorrow. talk to you then.
You have been listening to the Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to the Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
A message out to anyone who cares. Are you sick of being rejected? Oh, baby, just come back, did you be blinded? Blinded by the glare. South Coast, just to find my soul. Early in the morning, I got an idea to lose my self-control. I ran off to the East Coast, just to find where I belong. But I came back home, feeling so strong, with no particular direction. Instinctively reflecting, message out to anyone who cares. Well, are you sick of being rejected? Oh, baby, just come back, did I be blind?
Good afternoon. You've tuned into Radiance by Design here on BBS Radio. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and we are vibrational vehicles of light, and we can choose our radiance, which, again, chooses a lot of times our reality. So today I have a guest, and you'll be able to call in and talk to her, but she has a lot to talk about. This is the day of Fire the Grid, a global awareness of shifting that which impacts our limitations. And my guest is Susan Bradbury. Welcome, Susan.
Oh, welcome.
Susan is a licensed acupuncturist, but she's actually got a master's in acupuncture and oriental medicine. She does amazing work with sound healing. But this is not why I invited her in today to talk to you. Susan belongs to the Women's Federation for World Peace. She also has a nonprofit organization herself called Sound Essence. And she works with micro-lending with women in Burundi, Mongolia and other countries, and also work